Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for the City of Bettendorf for August 17th. Roll call, please.
Bennett?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Capler?
Here.
Lot?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Fleming?
Here.
It looks like we have a full house. I guess that's the way we should do it. You know, last month we couldn't get a quorum, and this month we got everybody here, so maybe every other month. You've all received the minutes of the June 15th, 2011 meeting, either in electronically or some method. Do I have any additions or corrections?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes of the June 15th meeting as submitted.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose, same sign, then the minutes are approved. This is the Plan and Zone Commission for the City of Bettendorf. We are a recommending body to the City Council. We make recommendations on things that are properly before us. Today, we have rezonings, preliminary plats, some final plats, a site development plan, and the vacation of an existing flat. We will, the matters will come before us, the staff will give us a report, we will ask the staff some questions. Once that process is completed, I'll ask, or at least look to the audience, to see if anybody in the audience is interested in providing us with any input on the matter before us. If you do, please raise your hand, and I'll try to recognize you. And I would ask that you go to the podium on my right, your left, at the back, tell me who you are, and then provide us with the input on the item that's before us. So with that, the first item is item number four. It's a rezoning. It's 10-040. It's the northeast corner of Middle Road and Tanglefoot Road. Presently A1 Agricultural District. The request is to move it to an R4 Multiple Family Residence District and submitted by AMF Real Estate LLC. Greg, would you like to give us a staff report, please?
Mr. Chairman, this site's located along Middle Road, and we've got Crow Creek that runs in through this area here, and it's within this green area that the petitioner's making the request for the rezoning. The area down here is already zoned R4. The area outlined in red shows that this is medium-density residential. There is some conservation area in here, but most of that's floodplain. There won't be any building in there. It's just a matter of taking and making the entirety R4 so that for financial purposes, for purposes of dealing with people who might finance the property and then conveyance, having it in one zoning classification makes this process much more easy to convey the property and buy and sell. The area is shown here in the purple. The area down here, this was already done prior. This is the zoning plat right here, and it outlines essentially the same area of the floodplain, the 100-year floodplain. And coming up later on another agenda item, we will have a discussion of the final plat for this particular area as well. This is the concept. The concept is just, it will be greatly modified and when we see the later final plat, but we do have some easements running through the area, and then this is the general outline of Crow Creek running through. There'll be a means of access off of Middle Road, and then coming up into the cul-de-sac area here, which will be Sheffield Court. Staff, in looking at this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions listed. I would ask, are there any questions?
Are there any questions from the commission?
Greg, so this would then make everything essentially from Tanglewood all the way up to Crow Creek, except for a small commercial area, R4?
Pretty much everything in here is all R2, but this would be effectively the R4 area right here. This is Middle Road right there. So what you're seeing is this out front. This is your R4 area.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Just one, Greg. The plat you're showing, or concept plan of the four lots, that's encompassing all the property that's there, the current, that's already zoned, it goes all the way out, correct?
area here, that this is pretty much already what's zoned R4, and then this area right here.
That's the red, okay.
Is going to be pretty much your outlot area and where Crow Creek will go through.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else? Anyone in the audience wish to address this in connection with this matter? Anyone? Anything further from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 11040, the rezoning from A1 to R4 as submitted.
Second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. And that rezoning is approved. The next item, number 5, is a preliminary plat. It's case 11041. It's Haley Heights, formerly Hopewell Trade Farm, submitted by Trade Farm LLC and Hopewell Farm LLC. Too many L's in there. Do I have a staff report, please, Greg?
Yeah. This site's approached from Middle Road, also access to 53rd and Hopewell Avenue, and there will be a means of access coming off Hopewell into the development. This area here still. Staff is in consultation with the developer as to what may happen to that particular area in regards to being potentially conveyed somehow to the city, maybe as a certain type of park or green area or detention area. This is the concept that you originally saw during the rezoning process. This is zoned to R1, and this is part of that. Again, this area over here we look to as the potential for a detention area or a park or something of that nature, maybe just green space. This is the preliminary plat of Haley Heights. You get means of access coming in here off of Hopewell. You have a cul-de-sac here, and then you have a circular type street arrangement here. Access over here to another thing you'll be seeing tonight, which is the Hopewell Hills addition, and then also means of access down here further south. And looking at this, staff had put conditions in the report to have the city engineer identify what we might do with this design here and this design as well, and how those issues may be addressed prior to there being a final plat of any portion of this particular preliminary plat. And there are some other conditions listed in there as well, and the resolution of this particular area here for potential conveyance. Staff, in looking at the preliminary plat, recommends approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
No.
Anybody?
I just have one question. It's kind of historic. How does this relate to the Mr. Caw district, and is that defunct now, or?
No, not at all. This area here, when we acknowledged, we went through the process of rezoning, we looked at this type of meandering stream that comes through here, and this is actually, some of it is in the 100-year floodplain. This effectively cuts off this area over here, leaving it almost as an island. Mr. Caw's still in effect, but under R1 regulations, zoning regulations, these single-family homes won't be impacted by those standards because they're not commercial. But effectively, Mr. Codd is still in the same boundaries as it was before. It's just that during the rezoning process, we saw that the land use map and the realities here geographically just weren't compatible. And that's why the zoning is as such like it is.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Greg, my map reading skills aren't very good, or my plat reading skills aren't very good. At the base of this cul-de-sac, at about 4 o'clock, line that goes southeast and then over and around and up and through to the outlot. What is that?
That's storm sewer.
Okay,
and so sanitary sewer, I believe.
Okay, it's just showing
storm,
the location of those easements. All right, that's all I wondered. Thank you.
All these lots comply, obviously comply with the R1 zoning?
Yes.
Any questions from the audience? What's your pleasure?
Well, I still have one more question.
Well, go ahead.
Just a minute. In the, I believe it would be the southeast corner, it's an area that's not part of the plat. Is that commercial?
It, right now, that's owned by the property owner over here, Ms. Sartain. And she owns this here, and present time, we haven't seen any indication as to what may occur there. I don't know that that would potentially go commercial. It's rather small in size.
I'm just concerned about that we have another McDonald's issue right here. Is this, do we need to have some kind of buffering in that area?
Well,
or
if you look at,
that,
if you look
how does
at,
that work?
If you look at what happens here, this stream comes in here and takes up a great deal of this area, and given the
if
way
I
this
can,
is,
Greg,
it's a rather difficult situation for them.
If I can, under the Mr. Codd ordinance, there's a 100-foot setback off Middle Road. So that's actually, if you look at part of this Haley Heights on the northern edge of the property you're talking about, Mr. Rafferty, that's why we determined that was basically undevelopable for commercial. And I think the same requirement would apply to the property to the south.
Because of the 100-foot setback, then it's very narrow. Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other concerns? I have a motion to either approve or deny, then, the preliminary plat.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve case number 11-041, subject to the recommendations of staff.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All the same sign. And the preliminary plat's approved. Final plats. The first one we have is case 11042. It's Valley Winds 6th edition, submitted by Highland Green 1 LC. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, this site is reached by coming up Devil's Glen Road, and it was formerly a farmstead right here, and it's being platted. This is the preliminary plat showing this area, and effectively this is what you've got right here, is a like an outlot type arrangement, or I should say, yeah, outlot top arrangement, and then next to the outlot is this easement area for this gas pipeline that goes through, and in the blue area is where the housing is anticipated on these lots here. Got 19 lots, means of access here coming down, and we're going to take and have a different name for this section as opposed to this one. I guess I did talk to the engineer on that. And then we've got Crow Lake Road here, and this is Crow Lake Place. The segment may be changed. I would also add too that if we already haven't addressed it, typically we want to make sure that this area, and I think it may be on the plat already, but just to make sure that there's either a 20-foot wide planting strip for these lots that are facing the Collector Street here, Devil's Glen Road, or that there is a fence that is set 15 feet behind the property line, and then basically an evergreen tree planted every 25 feet along that fence. So those two options are out there. If that hadn't been included as a condition on the plat, I just wanted to make sure that we got that in. But other than that, we support the petitioner's request for the platting of this location. We ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
No.
Nobody has any questions? Anybody in the audience want to address us? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just have one question. My name is William Heiberger, and I live at 3476 Mary Noel Avenue, and it's off the southern edge of the plat, down in the right-hand corner of the mat there. My question is, do we know what kind of structures are going to go onto these lots? Has that been identified yet?
Single family.
Single family. Okay. I just wanted to make sure on that. That doesn't include like duplexes or condos or anything of that nature. It'll be single family structures similar to what's already there.
Yes.
Okay. I thank you for the clarification.
No problem. Thank you. Any other questions? Don't see anyone. Anything else from the commission? Anybody want to make a motion then?
Mr. Chairman, I move the case 11-0042 be approved but subject to the staff recommendations.
Second. Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign, and that motion carries. At this point, I think we need to bring the vacation of the plat number 13 up into the agenda.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we'll take the vacation of the plat of case 11045. It's the Highlands East second edition. It's submitted by Bettendorf Land Development, LLC. Staff report, please.
This is the entire area, Mr. Chairman. It's outlined in red. You can approach it through Hopewell Avenue, and there's already basically delineated on here two means of access to the location. The area outlined in red is what's being vacated. The area that's sort of a brown color is what's being determined to be the area that the petitioner wants to essentially plat at this time. This is the preliminary plat, and effectively it shows that both Highland East 2nd and 1st edition, the 1st over here on this side, 2nd over here. And basically, this is the area looking north. This is the entirety of the Highlands East 2nd edition. This is north over here. And the area outlined in red is what the petitioner intends to effectively change to Hopewell Hills 1st edition. This allows the petitioner to stage this subdivision in at a different rate, and he's not obligated to, at this time, put in as many utilities or as much of the paving. This is one of the projects that was inherited, one might say, from a prior developer who had developed much of this area and no longer is involved with this area, and in some cases these properties were put up for sale vis-a-vis the banking industry to basically take them off the hands of the prior developers. So that's what we have before us here. Staff supports the petitioner's request for both the vacation and the platting of Hopewell Hills first edition to be the vacation, in this case, of Highlands East second edition. And the vacation, I believe, should come probably prior to this discussion here of this plat.
But the issue right before us at the moment is the vacation of Highlands East 2nd edition, which is the entire piece.
Yes, this.
Okay.
So that would be vacated in its entirety?
Correct.
And then move to the new proposed.
And then we would just see this right here as the new proposed Hopewell Hills first edition, this red area.
To reiterate what Craig has said, our ordinance requires that when you come in and put the improvements in for a property that's been final platted, you have to put all of the infrastructure improvements in, including streets, sewers, etc., or bond for the remainder that you don't put in. So with a new owner and developer taking this property, they didn't want to invest that amount of capital at this time. So the option was to vacate the plat and then come back and plat a smaller portion.
Any questions from the commission?
Greg, can you go back to the first picture that you showed, just a little bit bigger? Okay. So it's hard to read in the scale on that. Is that California? What's on the west side?
California.
California. California's there, and there's homes there, aren't there?
I believe, yeah, part of that is built up.
So are we vacating a plat where there's existing homes? No.
No, this is the preliminary. This side effectively over here is the first edition. The second edition is what we're taking a look at. And when I went back, I'll just take it back to the aerial.
All right.
This area here is not being discussed at all tonight.
And there's nothing built where we're talking about vacating.
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address us? Okay. So I have a motion in connection with vacating the Highlands East 2nd edition.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 11045, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Then the plat's vacated. The next item I think we should take is number 7, which is case 11043. It's Hopewell Hills First Edition. It's submitted by Bettendorf Land Developers, LLC. Development, I'm sorry, LLC. You began discussing that. Do you have anything further for a staff report on that?
Not at all, Mr. Chairman. This is pretty much, I mean, what you see is this piece here that was right here, more of the northeastern piece is what's being proposed as this.
Okay. And is this, it doesn't appear to be significantly different than the preliminary plat or the previous plat.
I looked at both of these, and I didn't see really anything much in any way that was different.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
No.
Anybody in the audience? Okay, can I have a motion on item number 7, Hopewell Hills First Edition?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 11-043, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Then that's approved. The next item is case 11050. It's Copper Ridge Second Edition, submitted by Windmiller Design and Development. Greg, you want to give us that staff report?
We're right nearby where we just were. In going here, here's Valley Wind 6th in this area right here. This is just part of an existing plat that is being replatted. Lots 3, 4, and 5 are now become 1, 2, and 3 in this addition, and then we still have Outlot A and Outlot B. Those are the ones that are being replatted as part of Copper Ridge Second Edition. This is the final plat. The prior plat takes in this area right here, and that's the area being replatted. Some of these lot boundaries and sizes have changed somewhat, but not to any great extent. They're all code compliant. This area is zoned R3, and as such, there's 25-foot setbacks for rear and front yard, but not really much dramatically changed in this platting process. And that's basically what you're seeing here is the second edition of Copper Ridge. We recommend approval, staff does, with the conditions listed in the report.
Any questions from the commission? I don't see any. How about the audience? Anybody want to talk to us about this one? Do you have any questions, Donna?
No, I'm just in my packet. I was looking for 50. I have 51, but I didn't have 50. That's just my own paperwork, but okay.
Anything further from the commission? Do I have a motion to approve or deny then?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll
case
second.
Number is 11-050, final plat of Copper Ridge Second Edition, subject to the recommendations from staff.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Number 9, case 11051, Wyndham Hills Third Edition. It's submitted by Advance Homes, Inc. Staff report.
This is the area that effectively you're looking at. This area is what's being rezoned right here. Mm-hmm. And this is the area down here at one time had been anticipated for duplex type development or detached cottages, and there are a number of lots and they had direct access to Middle Road. Well, that's changed, and now we have Middle Road here with an access coming in along Tanglewood Road and then connecting in here to Sheffield Court with five lots, I mean. They're very large in size, and then there's an affiliated outlot attached to each one of these lots. So you're seeing a far grander type of housing development in terms of the square footage and probably the size of houses that will be constructed here. There's no upward limit in an R4 district for these size lots. So if you were an R4 or R5 and you wanted to build a single family home and make these lots like these are here, there's no restrictions on that. And the petitioner wants to do that. At the same time, we also have, I believe, an easement for a trail, recreational trail, coming through here that will somewhat correspond to the course of Crow Creek. And then we have all these outlots created to effectively remove each one of these lots of record from the 100-year floodplain. Staff, in looking at this proposal, supports the petitioner's request for approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Greg, I understand the purpose of the outlots. How do we memorialize the need for maintenance or upkeep of those lots?
I think what we would try to do is we want to make sure that they're kept in a state that we have with other outlots. I think we started with it with Fieldstone Point probably about 9 years ago or something, where we have a provision in there against grubbing or doing things that may disturb the nature of the existing vegetation, or that people could plant different types of vegetation in there that effectively may help the water percolate, as opposed to having it flow directly into the stream. So,
will there be some type of note on the plat that would address that?
We've done it in the past. I mean, if this body would like to do that,
I don't recommend that we put that note on the plat.
Okay, it's just a lot of outlots, a lot of.
If you're asking land about the maintenance, who it's going to be tied to, that would be up to the covenants of the subdivision. If it was going to be the responsibility of each adjoining property owner, if it was going to be the responsibility of an association, and we have developers' representative here tonight that might be able to address that.
I'm Dennis Williams with Advance Homes. Basically, they're 2.5 acre lots that the reason we took the ag out to make them all R4, so the homeowner's going to own like lot one and outlot. I can't see it up there on the, if it's outlot A or B, yeah, that first outlot. So the only reason we're tying that together is we didn't want to have agriculture behind, and then somebody wanted to put a horse, or, you know, because you're 2.5. That way, it's all R4 zoning. The lots, their lot, outlot A and B, but then the house is not tied to the floodplain, so they can get their insurance without having floodplain insurance. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. That's basically, the homeowner's going to own the whole lot. They'll mow it, maintain it, and then the outlot H, I think it's along Middle Road, that will be a homeowners association, but it'll be tied into the docks for maintenance. That explain the question?
It does. Thank you.
I have a question. The zoning is going to be R4.
Correct.
I realize you're going to build, you want to build single family houses, and I hope you're successful and get them built and sold.
Yeah, 11 acres, 5 lots, we hope, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to put a condo.
It'll be very nice. My only concern is if you don't succeed, and I don't wish you anything other than success, they would be available to be multiple family units in there. And I don't know whether we should think in terms of some sort of a restrictive covenant to maintain these as single-family houses.
I guess,
and if you'd be willing to do that.
Isn't that way? I don't think it'll work that way. Because I don't think you could put, I don't know how you'd ever put multifamily units on 100-foot wide, because the lots are about 100-foot wide.
Okay.
Would you be adverse to a plat note saying that these lots will be intended for single family?
I don't think there's any problem there.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that's what you want to do. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. But.
And I guess we could do a plat note on that.
Okay. That's fine. Any other questions from the commission? Okay. Anybody else in the audience? How about a motion then?
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we approve case 11-051, subject to staff recommendations and the additional notation or reference to the note on the plat.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, and it's approved. Case 11052, it's Upper Iowa University, first edition, submitted by Build a Suit, Inc. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, this site has already been platted prior, and also we've had two different commercial operations, one being private college right here, the other being the pizza ranch, and the developer wanted to separate those two properties. This is what the original plat was, Shops at Duck Creek First Edition, and the areas outlined in green and red, effectively that was one lot at one time, but the proposal now is to separate the two so that we've got one that's the university in the green, that'll effectively be their lot, and then the pizza ranch lot will be the one in the red. Final plat shows both lots, one and two. There'll be easements to allow each of these areas to be used by one another effectively for parking and then also for ingress and egress. And all the utilities within these areas as well as the drive areas will be privately owned and maintained by the Owners Association for the entire subdivision. Staff, in looking at this request, supports the petitioner's request for the replatting, and I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission to the staff? I don't see anybody in the audience. See anybody in the audience either. So, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 11052, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Next is case 11053, the Legends of Hopewell Creek, third edition, submitted by Steve Zell. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, this location is effectively right near where we just had a discussion of the vacation of the Highlands East this area over here, the Highlands East second edition. This is as accessed effectively coming up Hopewell and then coming through Whispering Hill Drive, this area. This is the first edition of Legends of Hopewell Creek. This is the second, and last time we saw any platting in this area, I believe, is around 2005. This is the last in the staging of all of these Legends of Hopewell Creek editions. And you have a detention area that runs in here, and somewhat of a detention area running in there as well that's a part of this subdivision. It's somewhat regional detention. This is the final plat outlined in brown, showing again, I should say the portion of the preliminary plat that is going to be proposed as a final plat. Whispering Hill Drive right here, and then branching off into the various drives. And you can see the nature of this area here, which is rather rugged, and that's why it was selected out, is not usable for really anything else other than detention. This is the final plat right here, second edition being the means of access to come in and fan out to the different lots that are here. I believe there are 32 in this edition. And staff, in looking at this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, yes, I have one, Greg. The length of Whispering Hill Drive and Whispering Hill Court, is that, how do we compare that to the length of a cul-de-sac? Don't we have a maximum length, and isn't that essentially one long cul-de-sac?
We looked at that, and we had a median area down here that we had at one time in that design, and we didn't think that was really, it didn't deliver what we thought it would. With this, we do have a rather deep penetration of pavement before we do have a turnaround, but what we looked at was, I believe, the nature of having these cul-de-sacs here as a means of turnaround for any emergency vehicle. At one time, there was a discussion between the developer up here about getting access to this area, but because of the different nature anticipated between the two developments, that discussion didn't go anywhere. So, in fact, we have this design, and the preliminary plat had showed this as approved. We discussed it earlier, and we do have this median here to try to affect some type of intermediate turnaround.
Is that the reason we have a limit, just so you can have a turnaround for emergency vehicles? It's not egress
It's an attempt to, and it's probably, there's more than one reason, but I believe one of the main reasons is to facilitate a means of turnaround so that there just isn't simply one long stretch that goes without there being a means of emergency vehicle being able to turn around and then come back out. Look at the response time. I mean, there is some, we look at some of the other subdivisions we do have, it just dead ends basically up at the boundary like this. So we try to put in a hammerhead or something like that, but what we don't want to see is something that would be, and there are some that are actually longer than this, some of these streets. We felt in this case, though, that they met the requirements.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
No. The last time we looked, if I recall, the last time we looked at a plat in this area, we discussed some potential drainage issues that existed. And I thought what we discussed was that the construction that had taken place recently would correct some of those. Has that been the case? Or am I just remembering this completely wrong?
I don't recall anything.
Forest Grove.
It wasn't here. I thought it was Hopewell.
Could you help us with maybe some more specifics on that?
I thought we had an issue with Hopewell maybe acting as a dam.
Oh, that's water over the road.
That was resolved with revised construction plans for Hopewell Avenue.
Okay, now I understand.
If I may, Mr. Chairman. Yes. I got a call from Mr. John Nara that lives at the end of Emery Court, and he could not be at the meeting tonight, but asked me to relay his concern that the connection of sanitary sewer coming down into the Hopewell Interceptor sewer adjacent to his property be in such a manner that it had minimal disturbance of existing vegetation down there. So I'm relaying that concern of his to the commission.
Is that in, that's in an existing easement area, isn't it, Bill?
That actually, at the end of the cul-de-sac, Greg, you want to point out that easement, and then it comes down into city property is where the interceptor is.
And where is his property in relation
his
to
his property is directly to the, right okay. there. Greg's pointing it in directly to the west.
So we wouldn't actually be in any easement area that might be in his property then?
Should not be a need, and I think the engineer will back that up. Should not be a need to get in his property, but I think he appreciates the vegetation that exists there now.
Mm-hmm. But I recall now what you were referencing, Jennifer, that we had at one point even talked that water over the road was one of the solutions, but that was taken care of as the re-engineering of Hopewell.
Sure, I'll be glad to address that. Elected to have the roadway lowered so that it would not act as a dam. That was one of the concerns of Mr. Nara and others up there on Emery Court with regard to the original design that we had for Hopewell Avenue. And as such, it's now been engineered so that it will overtop if there's a sufficient amount of water coming down through that watershed.
And does the development of this, Wally, make it more likely that that will occur with this development now?
I don't think so. Part of the issue, too, is we're building a rather large detention area up behind the school, which should take care of some of the issues upstream. Any of these issues that we talk about are obviously predicated on future development upstream, but most of the drainage issues that are going to affect this area have already been addressed. And you know, if you get a huge rain event on this watershed, anything can happen up there, to be frank with you. So we couldn't give Mr. Narr or any of the other folks up there any guarantees with regard to where this water was going to end up, but they felt that they wanted to have this particular issue addressed in the way that we did, so that if something happened, it wouldn't back up on their property. So we went along with that.
Thank you.
Anything else from the commission? Anyone in the audience? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Jeff Daig. I live at 4301 Palm Drive, which is just north of that addition. Our concern in our subdivision is that we're landlocked. And I know that, 2 to 3 years from now, Forest Grove is going to be redone, but that'll be probably a major thoroughfare. It's pretty dangerous now. We don't want our kids walking on there. Unfortunately, I and many of us, we weren't here before you put Beaver Crossing in. There's actually, where I live, there's a nice little stream that runs right along there. Would have been perfect for a bike path on the right side of that green. Unfortunately, the planning commissioner of the city didn't look at that, but it's in the back of my house. I'm like, should have been a path there. They didn't. We've asked the Beaver builders, you know, and they said, we've talked to the city, we've talked to the school district. For instance, my daughter started school today. She has to walk just north of here to take a bus to go to Hopewell School, which is just a couple blocks away. So what I'm asking is as that land gets developed, even to the west of Beaver Crossing, you know, you're going to have subdivisions there probably. Why not tie a path or a sidewalk, get those kids walking from, there's quite a few kids in our subdivision that could just walk right to Hopewell if you connected this sidewalk or some kind of path. And I really think you guys should consider that. There's quite a few people in our neighborhood. You know, we tried to get something. Beaver Builders is building out to the right, their last street. But it's a bureaucracy nightmare, right? The schools district said, yeah, we don't want to bus these kids two blocks. It's costing a fortune. And they said it's a city problem. No, it's a development problem. So I really think it's a planning commission problem. The developer, of course, they don't want to put a path between a lot that nobody wants to a path. So I would ask that you guys can consider or let me know what you're considering as you move out west, rather than dumping all our kids to walk on Forest Grove Road, which in the future is probably going to be, it's dangerous now, it's crowded, it's going to get even more crowded as we see all these subdivisions rise up. We don't want our kids going up there. I think this is a good time to think about those things as you fill up those fields.
Thank you, that's a good point.
And unfortunately, it looks like it's the final plat. We got a letter, thankfully, in the mail this week. I'm not sure how the city works. I'm new to this, but I imagine it went through a preliminary and got this far. But we're very concerned citizens on this.
Okay. Yeah, the preliminary plat was back in 04.
Okay, so there's a lot of time. Yeah, it took when we moved in, we're between Ocean and International, and nothing was built to the right of us. The housing market slumped. But as it was growing beyond us, we started talking to the city and whatnot, and they informed us, yeah, we're building out Forest Grove. There is a path going out Devil's Glen, kind of a sidewalk to nowhere right now. They built up a path, Devil's Glen, and it just ends. I don't know why the city did that, but to probably connect in the future to Forest Grove, which has happened two to 3 years. So, you know, we see all these paths getting built and we are totally landlocked.
Yeah,
and I hate to put the burden on the current developer, it really should have been Beaver Crossing's responsibility maybe, but it needs to be thought, because you're going to have a subdivision all along Forest Grove and perhaps commercial on the other side. It'd make sense just to have kids have a walking path to the Hopewell School, which is just to the left of that green thing. The kids can't get to it.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Sure.
I'm asking the question. Hypothetically, if we were to look at this plat and look for a way to access the property to the north, the property to the north is already there. It's already established. There's not really a way to add any connection on that side of the plat. I mean, no matter what we accommodate here, it doesn't really give us access to land that's already platted and occupied, does it?
Really, it doesn't. And I have had conversations with Mr. Bucher, and that was his big dilemma, is that most of those lots are developed and sold, and how do you go back after the fact and obtain a property you need to have that connecting path?
Right.
I would add that to the left of, you're right, Beaver Crossing's done. We went that route. But to the left of Beaver Crossing, I know Palm Drive, it looks like a street, looks like the plan to build out to the left of Beaver Crossing. So to the left of Beaver Crossing is going to eventually be probably residential. So if you connect that residential to a potential to the south, you know, let's think forward, and you've got it connected. Right now it's a farm field, but I think Beaver Builders was thinking about building to the left of that.
Is left west?
West.
Yeah. Okay.
West.
And also, where's Beaver Crossing? Where would
it's
this?
The that's north, that east, yeah, right there.
That's that whole subdivision.
That's the whole
okay.
subdivision.
But to Ann's point, our dilemma is, even if we were to have a developer agreeable to designing something in this triangle, there's nothing on the plat for the Fitzmyer Farm property up there?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how that's going to lay out to know what, and you've created a situation where that whole development's contingent upon connecting with the sidewalk.
Right. Well, we've got two issues. We don't know how, or we don't know when.
Right.
Yes.
But we do have this one in front of us, and we can make sure that there is something here mm-hmm. that allows that, so that when the other developer comes, we can steer them that way. We can do that.
That certainly.
Is it
can we ask anything on this law, on this plat? Can we ask for an easement or sidewalks mm-hmm. or something? You know, I'm looking at Morgan Court, Whispering Hill Court, and then we're not very far from what we said was city-owned property that that is adjacent to the school district property. I'm looking at between lot 17 and lot 18. If we had a short sidewalk there, and you had a sidewalk between lot 8 and 9 down to Morgan Court, then they could walk down Morgan Court up Whispering Hill Court and get to the city property and cross into the.
Well, that is that is.
That's a way, but I mean, can we even ask that?
Knowing the topography, that's pretty deep, and there is a creek that runs through the middle of that city mm-hmm. property there, just for your information.
You'd have to build a bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even if they can get into this property and make their way down to Hopewell,
correct,
you're still getting them down there. And
yep. They get sidewalks at that point, and they're not going to, they can cross the creek.
That's a long way. I mean, that is going the wrong way. But Whispering Hill Drive takes you out.
It's a lot shorter than the intention is going up Forest Grove, walking all the way Forest Grove, down Devil's Glen. That's the future intention of this. That's where our kids would have to walk.
Which is a busy street to be
walking. Which is going to be even busier, right.
Is that
going
to have sidewalks on it, Bill? Or Wally, is that the plan to have sidewalks along a reconstructed Forest Grove?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. On all of our major streets, we're planning to have at least a trail or an ultra-wide sidewalk.
I think
if you look at the future, I mean, I imagine north of that could be zoned commercial real quick. So right off the interstate, I really don't want my kids going north, if there's a, you know, commercial guys hanging off the interstates, just don't want that. So if we can look at the future a little bit rather than subdivision by subdivision here.
Well, I've seen other parts in Bettendorf where there is a sidewalk that that leads to the school adjacent to a person's property, and if the lots are big enough, it's really fine. It's one that's close to our neighborhood.
Is the developer for this here? Can we hear from the developer?
My name is Steve Zell, and we're the developer for Legends of Hopewell Creek. One suggestion that I might have, whether or not we couldn't gain access, if you could bring up the second edition.
I'll just bring up the preliminary.
It would be over on the undeveloped ground by Florence Van Horse. If we could run it down the back side of those lots, it'd be a straight shot to the bike path. I don't know if that would work or not, but I think it's not very feasible to put it down across that retention basin mm-hmm. that is owned by the city, because then we have to ask, how are we going to get across other people's property in the first edition, which all those lots are already sold. So
okay.
I think it's already been commented that Judge Nara owns the back lot on first edition, and he's not going to go for kids going through his backyard, I'm sure. Is there any other questions or anything?
Is it possible to run it along the east side there, as far as the staff's concerned? I think that's what we're talking about.
Are all those lots sold
on
and built on Buckskin Trail?
Yes.
Okay. Because the easiest connection would be, again, you could make it to Beaver Crossing from Buckskin Trail,
just along
paralleling the last lot. But then the
right.
question is, what do you do?
You can't
with
get
the existing there. Developed lots on the south
right.
side of Palm Drive.
Right.
Uh-huh. There's no way to get from Palm Drive to...
This is their sidewalk. Yeah. But I mean, this is the problem. To here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, you got it.
Yep.
Unless you were to run a sidewalk east and west on the north side of the property. Yeah.
But what's that connecting to the north?
Well, nothing until those other lots to the north are developed, but it gets you around Beaver Crossing.
There's no way for people to access that sidewalk that live in Beaver Crossing.
Right.
Without
well,
cutting through somebody's yard.
Until the other lots are developed, but we know kids are going to cross through people's yards here and there no matter what you do, so.
Yeah, and that's through my yard, right where you just said. And honestly, that's perfect to have a path right there. And apparently 4 years ago, whatever, nobody thought about it. Of course, I don't want kids running through my yard, so that's what I'm looking at. Before this stuff gets built out, let's think about this.
Mm-hmm. This is the boundary right here where the lots end. This is where Beaver Crossing on this side begins. And you do have some sort of easement running through here. It's pretty narrow. I don't know if anybody would be looking at a sidewalk up there potentially, but this is effectively already is all pretty well occupied. And this area over here is the first, this is where you begin to see that freed up area.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, it's been my experience that these things work best if they're on an outlot and not an easement on somebody's owned property. We've run into some issues just recently up in one of the Valley Winds additions where they had a recreation trail easement. encroached on two lots that were owned by homeowners, and they were very worried about liabilities and those types of things.
Well, okay. I'm not sure we can address or solve the problem today, but I think it's important that we kind of try and figure out a way to solve the problem in the future.
It might be something we just have to think about when we develop that property.
That next piece.
Yeah, west of International Drive.
I approve this one and move on to the next one. Pass it along. I disagree. I would say let's have a solution first, and if it still keeps this intact, let's go for it. But to pass the buck down the road doesn't make sense. To solve the problem now, make the hard decisions. And if it keeps us intact, fine. Let's have a solution first, not push it down to the next guy or the next developer.
Well, we got an opportunity to put it through a yard right now, and you stated yourself you don't want it through your yard. You want it in somebody else's yard.
How much does the city pay me for a slot? I'll sell it to the city. That's fine. No, seriously. If you want to buy a piece of my yard to put an easement, which would be great, we can talk. If you're doing that. This is the planning commission, right? You look forward. You don't. You're right. We made a mistake, right? Whoever did made a mistake. We're landlocked. Let's solve the problem.
Well, I don't know that there's as much of a problem it is for your children potentially walking to this school.
The whole subdivision.
Well, let me finish what I'm saying. I don't know that there's a problem with the access necessarily for your subdivision because it very nicely exits out to Forest Grove Road. For you in particular, with children walking to the school, I can see where that'd be a challenge. But from a design standpoint for the street systems and everything, it flows very nicely to the north with your development and very nicely to the south onto Hopewell with the other. So we don't really have as big a problem as it is for you in particular. So what I think we're trying to do is see if there's a reasonable way for everybody to work it out. And today, you don't want it in, let me finish. You don't want it in your backyard, and a lot of people don't. The developer doesn't want to affect a lot that he's going to try and sell later. There's many interests in here we're trying to resolve.
If it was in my backyard and it was planned ahead of time, I would have known it. I would have purchased a lot. You would have said, this is the trail. We would have all known. You need to make the hard decisions. And as far as the future for Forest Grove, yes, all our kids are going to be walking up there, and it's going to be two lanes, four lanes. It's going to get busy. You're going to have commercial. And it's just going to sink the property values down, and probably I'll have moved out long before that, and I don't really care. You know, it's not in my backyard. Let's think forward. If you want to put a trail down my backyard, we can talk about that. I'm just saying, let's stop passing the buck. Because Beaver Crossing, we talked to him, oh no, it's we're stuck. We got to wait for, it's not this responsibility. It's not my responsibility. Well, you know, you're saying let's pass this and we can pass it down the road. No, let's solve it. Let's make a solution, present it. If it doesn't affect this developer, great.
Well, that's what I'm looking for, is a solution that doesn't affect the developer,
okay,
too, because
but
today
we can't
the burden
do this right now, so let's not pass it right now until we get a solution, and then we can pass it.
And who's going to pay to redesign his whole subdivision now when he has a new easement? Who's going to pay for that?
The homeowners that purchase. I don't care.
But the homeowners that purchase it have access to Hopewell.
Right, so they don't care, right?
Right.
Because this is the city planning. This is not the development planning commission. This is the city. Look at the city. Look at the long term, right? Isn't that what you guys are for?
And
I understand from a developer's point of view, they don't want easements. It's bad. So we can look at every little thing, and that's what happened to Beaver Crossing.
Claire, you brought up something that wasn't thought of before. This plat was first platted, I think we said 2004. So now we are taking it into consideration. We're saying, okay, from this point forward, we will plan to put it in the adjacent lot. Now that may not help you. It may help people who buy your house, people who move into the adjacent properties. Now that's, yes, we did not think about that. The school wasn't there.
Yeah, but Bettendorf is known for a bike trail and bike path. I know it's going to get there eventually.
And we have a comprehensive plan
right.
That shows where those bike trails are and if you need to live near one, you can choose where you want to live.
Okay, so your solution is to pass it today, and then what? What was the next steps?
I think your next step is to make is to go to the school and make sure that they will give access to the future development to the north side of the school.
Okay.
We'll get access to walk through the back side of the school lot. Because that's where the answer is
in the future. So the school owns, what does the school own?
Right there's your answer in the future.
But how do we connect to the north lots? We have to walk across. So is it just
Right now there is no answer for you.
Because so then I'll come back when the west side is done. I mean, at what point is it just the school's responsibility is what you're saying right now?
No, what I'm saying is when that gets developed, you're going to have sidewalks along Palm Drive all the way to the north side of the school. And then whoever buys the house or the number of houses to the north of the school, somewhere there will be an easement that needs to go through there. But that won't do any good unless the school allows access to the backside of the property.
I can probably assure you the school probably would do that.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
We're forgetting the terrain. There's a huge drainage ditch. I've walked out there. It's a huge swale. Somebody's going to have to build a bridge out there to connect to the school property.
Which is why I'm saying, why not think about it today and put a sidewalk down on that lot? You're right. We're thinking of the future. We're planning. That's good. So we just took it to the nth degree and said, man, it's going to get difficult if we wait and we get this, we got this. It's, you know, well, I did my civic duty.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm looking at this map, and I don't think it's our place to come up with a solution this evening. The Beaver Crossing, there is no potential there to connect because the property's all developed. I mean, you can't go back and change that. I guess the only thought I would have is if that land to the west of Beaver Crossing were to be developed, and we are looking to the future, might there be an opportunity to make a connection there? And could there be some easement at some point on this plat we're looking at tonight that might connect there? And I don't know how you're supposed to know what that's going to connect to, because you don't know how that's going to be developed. That's the only way I would see to plan for the future, to allow some kind of egress from the north through this plat. And there's no way anybody's going to be able to traverse that drainage area. The foot traffic would have to go down to Hopewell to get to the school. That's my only thought.
That's some of the pitfalls of what I call leapfrog development. Mm-hmm. We have several lots out on Forest Grove Drive, east of Middle Road, Huntington Meadows, not even any sidewalks out there. So when you don't progress adjacent to existing development, sometimes you can run into situations like this.
Well, I think in reality, and I commend you for bringing it up, and I'm glad you did. I think that's the kind of stuff we need to hear. We've got some unfortunate circumstances here. I know that doesn't solve the problem, but number one, the original plat goes back to 2004. As Bill notes, we've got leapfrog things that we can't always connect the dots on. And the practical side here is you've got a creek that, in reality, nobody's going to build a bridge over. That's a natural barrier. You've got development to the west from the Windmiller development going from Devil's Glen east to that barrier. Then you've got, I think it's the Witte property or something else, and then Fitzmyer, and logically it's going to stop at that natural barrier. It would be, and there's a develop here, unreasonably costly to take a subdivision across that drainage. It makes no sense. So your natural barriers on the west, and then I question from a practical standpoint, who's going to build a bridge across there to get to the school? That's
west side of Beaver Crossing south to this new you're right. You answered. You just stated my. You're on my side. Right. So if we push this off to the future, nobody's going to build that bridge across the creek. You're right. So it won't work. So we got to do it now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Part of the problem is what Paul said in the very beginning is these long cul-de-sacs. We don't have any connection.
Well, you're taking that all the way back.
What have we looked at in this area tonight?
You mean you're talking about this area, or I mean relation to the rest of the development?
Yeah,
or
we had Windmiller's second addition
down here down
to the west.
Yeah,
how to about the west to the and east north.
Right here, we had Highlands East second that's been vacated.
Now, how about to the east of Buckskin Drive?
I mean, to the east over here, I don't believe there's anything over there yet. We looked it over here. Though we looked at the Haley Heights right up here, but we have not. There is nothing over here right now.
Can we go back to Haley's Heights and
right.
ask that they have some type of easement into that part?
They've.
This is the whole thing. We started talking about taking people's property.
And let's see. Yeah. Even,
yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
Greg, Haley Heights was just north of Hopewell there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or south of Hopewell, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. You know, the connection is right there for Arizona Drive to Haley Heights. Yeah, it's off about a block.
Well, then you got to buy a lot. Yeah, you got to buy a lot.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Any chance I could jump in here and
certainly
give you a comment?
To have your
you know, we talked about this at great length a while back, trying to figure out how to get Beaver Crossings development connected down to the trail that we now have on Hopewell. And one of the things we did discuss was just what you've brought up, and that is how do you get from the Beaver Crossings down to Buckskin Trail from Palm Drive? And that's the shortest, most direct route to get to something that would allow you to go down to Hopewell and then pick up the trail facility down there. Going the other way, going to the west is an impossibility from a standpoint of, well, I shouldn't say impossibility, let's put it this way, it's very challenging because of the Ginger Creek down through there that you'd have to deal with. But the only way that we could see making this work would be to get Mr. Bucher to possibly take one of his lots out from Palm Drive over there to allow for some sort of access from Palm Drive down to the edge of the back of that development, which is what we talked about here. Can you point to that, Greg, over there?
The Buckskin?
Yeah, where you get from, you know, where Buckskin Trail comes up and goes into the cornfield.
Right,
yeah, right there. Basically, that's what you'd have to have. That's your best and most direct route to get from the Beaver Creek, excuse me, Beaver's development down to Hopewell Avenue. Right now, as far as I recall, I believe there is sidewalk on Buckskin Trail. Can somebody help me with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's sidewalk. Yes, there's sidewalk on Buckskin Trail.
So, yeah. I mean, we don't have to have the kids walking in the street up there. It's just a matter of making that connectivity up there. I don't know how you make that happen, though. That's why we talked about it and said, well, it's in the too tough to do category.
The problem is Palm Drive developed out?
Well, he's got a lot sold up there, I believe.
Okay. Sir, are all the houses built on the south side of Palm Drive adjacent to Buckskin?
Yes, well, he's got the west side of the street going out. But I doubt if he's done. I mean, that would ruin his property. He's already agreed to whatever plat. You can't go back to the city. Of course, we can ask him gently. But we've already done that as homeowners. So that makes sense, right? No developer is going to want to do this. Like you said, it's expensive to change things. But maybe if we had some foresight and thought about this ahead of time, we can work it in. So we've searched every avenue, talked to Buker, the school district. The school district would say, yeah, let's try to get something, but that's the city's responsibility. The city said, oh, it's the developer's responsibility. The developer, you know, it's just, so, but I'm thinking, what I've been thinking a lot, is the planning commission's responsibility. That's what I've come to conclude. So this is my last hope. Everybody's pointed at everybody else.
Well, that's the only way, that's the smartest way to make it happen. The problem is it even possible to make it happen? You'd have to, somebody have to buy a lot or do something that's with Buker, and if it's already developed, you can't do that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could interject for a second, is there any way that the property owners up here in this area be willing to buy a portion, potentially if it's workable, through this easement area here, as Mr. Connor suggested, an outlot? I don't know if it's viable or not. I don't know if the developer would go for that or not. But this area is outside, hasn't been developed here. But just to have a future connection when this area does get developed, it could come down through here. But I'm wondering if these homeowners up here will be willing to potentially do something of that nature, if they would want to purchase maybe a portion of that area to keep it open for a future sidewalk. I mean, well, I'm just throwing that out for what it's worth. I mean, I don't know that the developer would.
The lot behind me, which is his lot, but it's kind of $80,000, $100,000.
If you end up putting kids over here, where do they go to live?
I mean, you're almost seeing, sounds like from what I hear, is that the planning commission is thinking, oh boy, we can't do much if the developers put this in place. And that's kind of funny, because it seems to me that the city planning commission should be driving the needs of the city, and be, should be telling the developer that what the city wants. And from the guy on the right here, or over here, saying, oh, it's the cost of the developer. And that's really, I'm glad you have empathy for the developer, but I think you're supposed to be sitting up there and planning for the future of Bettendorf. So it shocks me to hear, you know, you guys are, you know, we're all going for the developer, but you know, I'm living in Beaver Crossing, going, how did you get away with this? Landlocked place. You know, they come from a subdivision in Chicago that they were all interconnected. I mean, it wasn't just sidewalks; it was community interconnected. And I, you know, unfortunately, we picked Beaver Crossing, and we're landlocked. So I figured we could try to change the thinking.
I'm trying to rationalize how I force, as a member of the commission, the developer to lose, as you note, an $80,000 or $100,000 lot or some significant impact to his lot to benefit your subdivision and your particular need. I think it's a great one.
It's the planning of Bettendorf. You had a problem with McDonald's, right? Going into a residential. Well, I probably predict there's going to be something like that north of Forest Grove, north of our subdivision. I'm not an expert, but I'm thinking that makes sense. So a lot of those people are going to be up in arms going, oh, we don't want a McDonald's in our backyard because our kids have to walk over there. If we can have some foresight and say, man, if we had a little sidewalk.
Well, again, explain to me how we're going to put a little sidewalk in, given the constraint that there's currently no easement to the west and that property is owned by another party. How are we going to do that?
Okay. First of all, you as the planning commission say, for this property, say, make an easement north. Fine. And then you as the planning commission say, any future developer on the west side needs to connect to his little easement. Isn't that what the planning commission does? I mean, you're kind of like, you know, I'm at the mercy of the developer. Aren't you guys?
I can't wave that wand. I can't say I'm going to benefit you to his expense.
It's not me. It's Bettendorf.
It's your group of subdivisions. You're extrapolating that to the whole town. I'm not catching the vision.
Right. The whole town doesn't benefit.
Sir, I would also add that we're only considering one parcel of land tonight. We're not in a position that we can do anything with the land to the west of there. That's not before us. That's not an issue that we're discussing.
Beyond that, don't you say, boy, if we have this parcel of land, we have an easement, and you think, man, I imagine it's going to be residential to the west of us. So, I mean, there's a street home drive kind of goes off like it's a road. Maybe I'm mistaken. You guys plan subdivision to subdivision. You don't interconnect. I don't know. But I would think that you're right. You can't import. You don't know what's going to be there, but you can say we have an easement here that we kind of need to enforce.
If you're at Palm Drive and Ocean, virtually, or between Ocean and International, is that where you are?
Yeah.
Just so I understand. So if the logic I'm hearing, you'd like to have the developer create an easement, the developer that's here tonight developing the triangle, through his property into one of the streets. But yet you're not willing to create an easement across your lot for that access. But I asked if you wanted the city to pay you for that.
I said the city. Oh, but there's a liability, right? So if I can let kids walk through my yard, that's fine.
No, I said, would you create a sidewalk through your lot for the benefit of the subdivision?
Of course, it's just something I would be willing to do.
I'm just trying to understand the logic.
Creates a. I'll let the kids walk through my yard, and get to Hopewell, and then you tell me where on his property the kids can walk.
I'm just trying to see if there's a deal to be struck. If the developer were willing to create an easement in one of the lots that adjoins yours, that's coming at great cost to him.
I think a sewer easement. So I'm not sure what we can do. It needs to, by code, there probably can't be a sidewalk on top of my lot because it's the underwater or it's a sewage system, I think. I'm not sure.
There can be a sidewalk on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily think it's the commission's responsibility to change, you know, easements on a property that we're not even talking about tonight. And it, you know, I think it's the staff's responsibility to take this issue and to see if there's something that is workable that can be worked out. I mean, I don't think we're going to solve the issue tonight by... Yeah. By making this scratches on the map and see what we can do. I think it's a bigger issue, and it is a planning issue, but it's something that needs to be taken up with the staff, with the developers, and with the homeowners of Beaver
Creek.
Of Beaver Creek.
You run this thing right on up.
Can I just, Chairman?
Yeah.
Correct. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can I just point out one thing? On the third edition, I don't think there's anywhere that we actually touch the school property.
No.
I believe that Judge Naro's property touches the school property, and then I believe it's also, is it Joe Witte? Would border, and then Scott Fitzmeyer would have the other border. So I'm not sure how we would get there anyway, our addition. And even then, to traverse that creek that's down there also.
All I'm saying, this is it. I'm just saying a north to south easement to the sidewalk. You're right. We're not going to build a bridge across the west. But it just gives us kids access to the north and south. I'm not, you know, that's kind of all I'm asking. But you're right, the future, who knows? But thank you guys for your time and attention.
The only place I'm seeing that would be possible is would be somewhere between 6, 7, and 8, coming into that Morgan Court cul-de-sac. But to Pat's point, I think it's a staff matter to work out. By the same token, I don't feel comfortable not proceeding on this. From our perspective, it's an acceptable plat.
It conforms with the preliminary plat that was approved a few years back.
So. Right.
And I don't know how you're going to get, other than put a easement into the cul-de-sac, and then they'd have to walk all the way through the subdivision down to Hopewell.
Still a long way.
Kids are different today than they were when I was a kid, but I think I know how I'd get there. And bridges never were a problem. We always figured out ways to get over creeks and things. So I don't know. I just don't think we can change this preliminary plat at this point in time.
We can draw two lines to any of these cul-de-sacs, and we don't know if that's going to has even the potential of fixing the problem.
No.
Two of the properties have not been developed, and the one that is developed is, you know, we don't know which property owner is going to be willing to give up a portion of their.
And the other thing is, I think it's throwing a surprise to the developer. I mean, we do have comprehensive plans that we try to follow that addresses things like bike paths and walking paths and things of that nature. And they were never planned here. So to try to say, if he's willing to do this, that's great, you know. But to try to force it on him, I think, is another thing.
Well, I guess it's fair for us to ask the staff to be cognizant of the issue and see if there's any way through future development to figure out a way to go north-south, because there isn't one right now. But
and both in this development as it progresses and adjacent, and then in general, because I know over in near where I live, there's a couple of access sidewalks that go through to Pleasant View School, mm-hmm. and they just come between the neighborhood, and it works very well.
Yeah.
But again, that's part of the initial plan and development, and it may have even been done after the fact. I don't know. Somebody said, hey, put the sidewalk through so all our kids can get through. But to the homeowner's point, I think it's a great one. It needs to be part of the plan. To Mr. Chairman here, I would also agree, not contemplated in our scope, and I'd be prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead.
If I got the right one in front of me now, that would be 11053.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion that we approve case 11053, subject to staff recommendations, and with the further caveat that if there's any ability to address any of the concerns raised by the homeowner and accommodate any kind of easement access, that be discussed and made part of the development, should it be possible.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion on the matter?
I guess I have a procedural question.
Sure.
If we encourage the city to talk with the developer about an easement, is that a change to the plat that has to come back before us?
For an easement?
Mm-hmm. To add an easement?
Would that be a minor change?
Is that a minor change?
I think that would be a minor change, frankly.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And final plat is approved. The next item is the site development plan, case 11044. It's 3223 Southampton Drive, submitted by Gary Hintermeister. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, this location is shown here in purple. The addition, that is, this is the school coming up Southampton, and then there's an access here. The addition is this area right here. It's being added for classroom space. I don't know how that photo got fed in like that, but effectively you're looking at the back of the school here. This is the addition outlined here in this purple type color. And that's looking at it from the east, from the detention basin. That's how the addition would look. It does stick up like this, up at this area, and then it levels off. And this is the view looking from the west. Again, the addition being on the south side of the building. Basketball court is over in this area, and it'll be almost adjacent to that. This is the site plan here. The area here showing the addition, and then the detention basin here being modified to effectively hold the additional amount of runoff, and this area here shows much more magnified. The detention basin here, which will be a swale, or yeah, swale type area, which will allow the water to drain, permeate into an existing sewer. That storm sewer will just go between these houses here. There's an existing easement to take that water out. And this is the structure here, the building that would be added as an addition to the school. This is the landscape plan showing the additional landscaping that's going to be put in place in lieu of the trees that were removed. And this gives you an idea of the interior of how this structure will look. Basically what's being added to the school. It's outlined in red here. These are the elevations regarding the addition. Basically looking in from the west, the east again, showing this roof here being somewhat pitched to some extent. And then this is the south looking from the south elevation. This is as you would see it in the courtyard area, and that's a part of this right here. And if we go back to this drawing, the courtyard being right here for that particular structure, staff in looking at this report would support the petitioner's request for approval. I also believe, Mr. Chairman, that you have a letter from two of the neighbors surrounding area that we probably like. It's rather short. We'd probably like it maybe read into the record.
I will be happy to do so now. We do have a letter from a Bruce Byram and Kathy Thompson. It said we reside at 3304 South Hampton Drive. It is impossible to leave our home or to return to our home while parents are delivering and picking up their children. Also, parking becomes a problem when the school has functions. We are not opposed to the addition to Hoover School, but we would like you to consider adding extra parking on school property and adding another entrance on the east side of the school. This would help reduce the increased congestion caused by the increased population of the school. So we'll accept that letter and place it on file with the rest of the comments that we will soon receive. Any questions from the commission concerning the site development plan?
Did the parking change? Was the parking area increased as a result of the addition?
The parking area doesn't show it here on this site plan, but the parking area did not increase in size.
But is it required to because of the additional square
footage? I don't know what it is. I think I discussed this with the architect, and I think there were a substantial number of spaces to provide for the added classroom space.
It's just when there's events, there's special functions that
probably you're going to see a pickup, and that, you know, we don't accommodate necessarily for the peak hour pickup of kids in our parking ordinance.
Mm-hmm. So the entrance they were talking about in the letter, what
they've asked for an entrance from the east. I don't know exactly.
Greg, if you can show the aerial photo, that
yeah, there you go.
They're referring to this right here.
I think they were talking about from Somerset Drive.
Right here, I mean, yeah, yeah. Right there. Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't there access to the west? Isn't that a drive that goes down to Tam O'Shanter?
Yeah.
There used to be.
Don't think so. This is the only means right here. That
no, the other one goes through. That's a one-way.
Yeah. Yep. It goes okay. Out. Way out. Right.
You can see the dam.
Yeah.
The school tree said it's a one-way access.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think another entrance may be difficult with children,
especially from here.
Security. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of neighborhood access to the school sidewalks.
Yep. Any other questions? Which anybody in the audience? Nobody? Okay.
I'd make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
That we approve case 11044, subject to staff recommendations, and I guess one further caveat, just that we do verify that no additional parking was required as part of the additional square footage.
Okay.
And I'll second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Then that plat is approved. Site plan development. Comments?
I have nothing, Mr. Chairman.
You have nothing. Out of mercy.
Okay. Come on, Bill.
Okay. I guess we're adjourned. Thank